Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Permanent Magnets Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayam Pokharna from TIL Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Pokharna.
Thanks a lot, Vikram. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to each and every one of you. Thanks for joining the maiden earnings conference call of Permanent Magnets Limited. The investor updates and presentation have been already submitted to the stock exchange. In case someone wants to be added to the mailing list, please feel free to reach out to us. To take us through today's results, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Sharat Kapadia, Managing Director, Mr. Sukamal Jain, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. We will be starting with a brief overview on the company's performance for the quarter and for the whole year, followed by answers to some pre-registered questions received from the participants and a Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that anything and everything that is said on this call that represents any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties have been detailed in our annual report. Over to you, Sharat, sir.
Yes, thank you, Sayam. Good afternoon, and I welcome you all to the quarter four and financial year 2023 earnings call of Permanent Magnets Limited. Thank you all for taking out the time to attend this call. It is a pleasure to address you all today and walk you through our performance for the quarter and for the full financial year. As you would have already seen from the financial performance, financial year 23 has been a good year for the company. We reported our highest ever top line for the year, which stands at 188 crores. It is up by 41% as compared to the previous year. The profit after tax stood at 30 crores, which is an increase of 56% over the previous year. On the balance sheet front, we did witness some increase in the working capital cycle, primarily on account of higher inventories and receivables. This was mainly due to the higher lead time for raw material and a few overdue amounts by our customers as on March end. We now come to the operational updates. There have been two primary reasons for the growth in financial year 23. In our electricity meter operations, we were able to secure higher wallet share in one of the decent sized product categories from one of our existing customers. Secondly, we saw good demand scale up on the automotive front. We added some new customers on the EV platform, while demand from the existing customers also scaled up. Coming to our upcoming manufacturing facility, things have been a little slow there, mainly due to the delays in land acquisition. We are now expecting a closure on this front in a few months, post which we will begin the civil construction work at the site. Nonetheless, the company has been investing in plant and machinery at the current location, which we intend to shift to the new plant once it is set up. We expect that the upcoming facility will take about 2 years from today, but we are geared to cater to the increase in customer demand from our existing facility, and if need be, we will lease out additional space nearby to the existing operations. So this delay, I understand, will not have any impact on our ability to service the growth opportunities that we are getting. we have also signed a non-binding MOU with Quadrant International. And at this stage, I can say that the opportunity we are exploring is quite interesting, and it has the potential to be an alternate supply chain globally, which many companies are looking for. Going forward, the company continues to work on its laid out strategic priorities, including adding manufacturing and technological capabilities, working towards moving from components towards modules in some product categories, and exploring additional growth drivers. So now I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star one now. We also got emails on questions on emails. Sir, would you like to read out the questions and answer them initially, and then we'll take the online questions?
Yes. First, we got questions from Mr. Anant Shenoy, and I will read out. Is he there on the call? I will read out his questions and the answers.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead. Mr. Shenoy is listening to the call. Thank you.
All right. So the first question is, can you please update about your key segments, energy meter, automotive, gas meters, for FY23 and Q1? And what was the growth driver in financial year 23? How is this mix likely to change in the next 2 years? Our growth driver for financial 23 was both in automotive and energy meters. Both segments, we have uploaded a presentation, and as you can see, FY23, 32% of the sales came from automotive segment, which was 25% last year, and 45% of the sales came from energy meters, which was 38% last year. So both the segments have grown. In the next 2-3 years, it really depends on the product mix, how this will move, but we do expect EV segment to grow more, since worldwide this segment is growing pretty fast. And his next question was, how much sales in the EV, in the automotive, is EV versus non-EV? Approximately 85 to 90% of the sales is towards EVs in the automotive segment. And the next question is about the client acquisition over last 1 year. How many new clients has the company added? We have added approximately 15 to 20 new clients, and amongst these, three are larger companies which are larger in size. Next question is, how do you see visibility in automotive segment over next 2-3 years? How are the existing relationships scaling? So business in this segment will grow. Existing relationships are scaling well, I can say. Next question is, can you please talk about new key products we have developed in the automotive space and potential? Mostly all our products are customer designed products. Once the customer shares the design, we give inputs to improve that design based on the manufacturing requirements. And this iteration goes back and forth a few times. And so most answer to that question is, most products are customer designed. We are also exploring possibilities in alloy business, which can be a growth driver for future. Next question is, you have mentioned in the past AGM that some of the orders could be larger in size in this segment. since we have not executed large size projects, what preparations are you making in terms of team size, process, hiring, manufacturing, so that we can sail through in execution of large projects? I can say that we are putting the suitable resources to execute large projects. We don't see a problem in providing resources for larger projects also.
There is no bottleneck.
Yeah, we are doing the suitable hiring. Already new plant, we are doing work on that. The required capex is being planned. So based on project to project, we are planning that. Next question. You had mentioned in the past that our pipeline is strong, and once the product goes commercial, we could see growth. How is the pipeline now? The pipeline is growing well. We have now a system in place to track each project and each stage and the pipeline as a whole. So based on this, we are now able to track each project very well and the pipeline and each stage very well, and it is giving us a better visibility. But the pipeline is growing well. Next question is, how many projects do we have in the pipeline? I would not like to say any particular number here, but that number has increased substantially compared to last year. Next question, last year you mentioned about 200 projects in the pipeline. How has this changed? So this, I would not like to again give any number. It has increased substantially. Next question. What is your expectation visibility of a few projects going commercial in FY 24, 25, 26? Each of our project has a different start of project given by the customer. Some are 2 years, some are 1 year, and depending on project to project. So few projects will go commercial in these coming 3 years. That is our expectation. What are the forward integration plans of company into modules and plans for integration of new products? So the company is showing the capability of manufacturing modules to our customers. And so therefore, hopefully we will get more business of modules in future. Our plan, already we are doing forward integration into modules. So we are in that direction. Next question is, have the module sales started for the company? How much sales of modules in the last year? So we have done 2 crore rupees of sales in FY23. It is still a very small amount of sales. Once we have larger projects there, the sales will increase. Next question is, how do we see this in FY24-25? I can say it is expected to increase, but I cannot give any particular numbers. What is the opportunity size in the module that we have developed? So see, different modules have different values. If it's a large sized module, it has a bigger value. So it depends on the complexity and the application. So we can't give an overall total opportunity size of the modules. Next question, what are the pipeline projects in modules? There are multiple projects of modules, and as we are going along, we are getting more and more inquiries for modules. It is a forward integration for our company. Next question, what is the competitive landscape in our product range? Who are the key competitors in domestic and global markets? Given that there is good demand for our products, have we seen any new competition come up? Our products are mainly customized products. It's not a single product. Each product that we make, we supply to a single customer. We don't supply one product which is made for one customer to another customer, because we are bound by agreements. So there are no fixed competitors to this business, but the few companies that are there, I would not like to name them, but they are mainly located Mainly, they are located in China, Europe, and USA. So, the next question, automotive export versus domestic sales mix in financial year 23. It was about 35% domestic and 66% export, automotive. Yeah. Next question. You mentioned we are supplying parts, cores to transformers used in charging stations. Can you talk about success in this project? Last year you mentioned about this project. How has this changed? This application is in research and development phase. We have not done any sales for this. Our customers are also developing, and we are helping them to do this development. And maybe this year some production, some projects may materialize and we may start some sales. Next question. Last year you had mentioned that Hypom is 50%, shunt 30%, magnet assembly put together 20%. Can you talk about applications of these? Which segment each technology goes into? So revenue wise, the percentage is almost similar as last year. And applications are again the same. Automotive and energy meters are the biggest two applications. Next question. Can you talk about new capabilities over the last year? Mainly the new capabilities that we have developed is casting related technologies. We have developed stator and rotor manufacturing, which goes into a motor. It's the heart of a motor. We have also developed capabilities in high speed stamping, which are parts required in the motor and laminations. Next question. How much revenue comes from CT technology? What are the applications? Approximately rupees 10 crores. And the main applications are LTCT, energy meters. These are the main applications. And the next question, 30% of sales is coming from shunt. How is it different from what Shivalik Biometal does? Are they our supplier? Can you please explain the supply chain in shunts? Shivalik Biometal is our supplier, and we use their material and we make assemblies which are customized as per customer requirements from the shunts. Next question. How is our relationship with Maglab scaling up given that they are taken over by another company? This relationship has been growing well. Maglab got acquired by another company called CTS. Then next question, the smart meter, how does the growth look for the next 2-3 years? Any signal in addition to customers we have done in the past 3 years? Earlier we had issued with chip shortage. Now with that resolved, how do you see it going forward? Here the business is mainly coming from the existing customers for different type of products. The chip shortage overall, it is seems to be easing out. It is still not fully resolved, but it is easing out. Outlook is good, according to us. Next question. Any new customer addition, any new products for smart meters? Yeah, there are some complementary products that we are developing. We were mainly doing current sensing, but now some more complementary products we are developing. How is the relationship with Itron scaling? Are we developing any new products for them? So PML has been selected as the preferred supplier to Itron, and we are getting many other inquiries for some other products from them. Smart meter side, export versus domestic. So 80% is export and 20% is domestic. And there are questions about gas meters. We had earlier supplying parts to electromechanical gas meter, and we are developing parts for electronic gas meter. Any success on this? We don't have any success yet on the electronic gas meter parts. And currently, we don't have any visibility. We are working towards getting some opportunities there. Then next question is about next question is about aerospace. So there are two projects going on in aerospace, but volumes are still not very big. And last year, there are some questions about renewable aerospace. I've already answered that. And there are some questions about margins. So margins depend on the product mix. Each product has a different margin depending on complexity. But overall, we expect it to remain the same. Then there are some questions about facilities, which I already answered that we will not have any downtime due to shifting of the new facility. We will plan it well to shift. And there is capacity utilization question for that. For us, the capacity is not a constraint. We can add capacity very quickly because each line is a customized line and capacity is different for different products. And there are some questions. One question was relating to central excise loan. It is still pending with Government of India. There is a question about the revenue growth for the coming year and FY24. At this time, we expect about 20 to 25% growth as per visibility today.
So this answer most of question of Mr. Shenoy. Hope you are satisfied and let other participant also get time to ask question.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We take the question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I am first time to the conference call. Just one or two basic questions. On the ferrite magnet side, usually what is the content per car and how much do we supply car and the two-wheeler?
No, we don't supply anything in ferrite magnets. We supply our main magnet businesses for Alnico magnets.
Okay.
We don't supply anything in the ferrite magnet segment.
And how much will be the content there?
You are asking about content of ferrite magnet in the car?
Yeah, content in the car and in a two-wheeler.
In the electric two-wheeler, there is practically no content, I believe. Generally, the motors are made out of neodymium magnets and not ferrite magnets. To keep the weight very low. And in the car also, I think the ferrite magnets are not used much.
But our...
I'm talking about the EV segment.
So our supply of magnets in the car and two-wheelers is where then?
No, we are not supplying any magnet. The main application that we supply is for current sensing devices, not magnets. Currently, our magnet supply for automotive is quite less.
Okay. The other question is, sir, you someone asked you on the asset utilization part. Let's say this 33 crore gross block that we have on the balance sheet today, 9 crore which you have invested for further this year. What kind of asset turn is possible on that block?
Asset turn. Now each product has a different capex line. So I can't give you a general answer on the total capex. This capex, whatever we have done, is for various machinery for various products. Some products have a much higher asset turn and some are longer. I can't give you a general answer on that.
But this 33 crore of gross block which is there on balance sheet can support what kind of revenue? 250, 300, less than that?
It is sufficient to cater to the near future growth. And as and when it is required, we keep on adding our capex.
Okay.
Generally, our
not very high capex company.
Generally, our ROC, the asset turns are generally pretty good. And
no problem, sir.
We can't say exactly about how many turns it can do. It depends on the material price, many other things.
But we recover very fast.
No problem, sir. And the new capex side and that MOU, so what is the new capex, the greenfield that you are trying to do? What is the spend there?
Right now, we are just exploring a possibility of setting up a joint venture for neodymium facility. Depending on the size of the facility, we will have a number on how much capex we will have to do. But that we have not arrived at a firm number as of now. We are right now exploring with them and we will soon decide on that.
And the land that you are seeking where you want to shift your plant, what is the capex there?
The total capex we expect on land around 10 crore and in facility creation around 15 to 20 crore. So total capex will be around 25 to 30 crore.
Okay. And my last question is, sir, on the cash flow side, you know, last 3 years, I see a continuous deterioration in the cash flow generation of the company, especially the EBITDA to cash flow conversion because of the working capital. There's a continuous increase. First of all, why is it so that back to back 3 years it is happening and what is the rectification or solution for it?
Data. See, our raw material, we have very big lead time. It's all imported, so very big lead time. Sometimes if our customer postpone their delivery, then we end up with inventory. So this we have now focused on reducing inventory and we hope current year we will be able to achieve our target.
We also in the last few years also due to COVID there were uncertainties and we also decided to increase that because of the high lead time.
And disturbance in this logistics.
Some of our supplies, the high value items are mainly produced by very selected few companies in the world. So the lead times are very, very high.
This was valid even?
Yes.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt. Kindly come back to in the question queue. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, please restrict questions to 3 per participants initially. If you still have more questions, please join the queue afresh. Take the next question from the line of Viraj Mehta from Equirus PMS. Please go ahead. Viraj Mehta, your line is unmuted. Please go and ask your question. As we are unable to hear from the line from Mr. Viraj Mehta, we move to the next question. We move to the next question from the line of Prateek Jain from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question is mostly around the strengths part. Can you please help me understand specifically in two-wheeler, four-wheeler, do we supply shunts just for BMS or whole as a bike wherever it is required?
No, shunts we are supplying as per the customer design, and for BMS, right now we are trying to enter into a module as a whole, BMS whole module, but right now it's only a shunt. Is a very less the quantity of shunts for the EV application is less.
That's applying to only one.
Can you quantify the number? How many shunts goes in two-wheeler and four-wheeler?
We are supplying to one four-wheeler manufacturer, which is very less, maybe 3,000 in a year.
So generally, the shunt number per car will be only one, probably. That is what we know at the moment. Depending on the electronics may use another, some more shunts, but the main current sensing shunt may be less. Mm-hmm. And it may not be used also, depending on the customer design. It depends on the customer design.
So can I assume that it might be in the range of 1-2?
Maybe.
Okay, and can you help me? What can be the realization of it? Like, what cost do you charge?
That is depending on the current carrying capacity of the shunt. If it is large, for example, a four-wheeler will require a bigger shunt, and a two-wheeler may require a smaller shunt. So that really depends on the size of.
But any average number you have in your mind, the cost per shunt?
Maybe 200 rupees approximately for a four-wheeler, roughly.
Okay. And is the realization higher in export market, international market?
You're talking about shunt or what are you talking about?
Shunt. I'm just talking about shunt.
Shunt assemblies that we supply for for energy meters, it is higher in the, generally realization is higher in the export market.
If possible, can you just quantify the delta? How much it will be?
There are different sizes of shunt.
It is depending on meter to meter. I can't quantify that, the number.
Maybe starting from 10 rupees to 100 rupees.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Go to the next question from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Sharifji and Pakmalji. My first question is, I think we did around 68 crore revenue on automotive side. And if I understand, we have added new clients from that segment in last 2-3 years. Some of them are scaling up and some of them are yet to scale up. So how do we see revenue from automotive segment in next 2-3 years? Can we cross 100 crore, given the pipeline and commercialization of the product that you have visibility on?
The potential is there to cross 100 crores. How fast it can be done, it depends on the commercialization of the projects and start of the projects given by the customer. Generally, automotive customers are, they work many years in advance. So some different products are there in different pipelines.
We are likely to cross 100 crore.
Any automotive.
Okay. I think you said that we have put in a system in place to monitor the pipeline and kind of gain some visibility on the revenue side of it. So can you at least give us some sense as to how many projects are at a very early stage, so how many have gone to a RFQ stage and discussion, commercial discussions, and how many are prototyping and then commercialization? At least percentage, right? It's not absolute number.
There are many number of projects and I can't give you exact percentage, but they are in various stages. So some are in lead stage, we have received RFQs, some are in price approved, some are in, we are giving prototype samples, some are in designing stage. Some are already won. We have already got starting, the business is starting. So I can't give you exact percentages on the pipeline.
Okay. One more question is, I think, on the electricity meter side, that's been a mature and steady business for us. But you mentioned that with one of the largest customers, we are, kind of exploring opportunities for a lot more products. And also there is a potential of doing modules on this side. Even domestic meter side, if you can give some sense. So all put together, can this segment grow at 15-20% for next 2-3 years? How are you looking at that segment?
Energy meter segment is growing well and PML has been perceived as a good supplier for this segment by our customers. The top 3 customers in the world, they are already PML's customers. So I expect the growth to be good on the energy meter side.
Okay. And the last question. So I think we did this MOU with Quadrant. So can you also, how is it that PML, Quadrant is a reasonably large size company. How did they approach PML? What capabilities they think we will bring to the table? And what I was reading, that alternative supply chain that we are talking about, but still the all rare earth materials and the initial processes are controlled by China. So how will we address that problem as a JV, if at all that happens?
So firstly, Quadrant, we have a relationship for some time now. They were looking for a company in India with magnetic understanding, who has a magnetic understanding. So PML is well placed there. So they have approached us and we signed this MOU. Regarding the supply chain, India has a reserve for rare earth, but there is no currently nobody producing the metal. We will not, our dream is to have a supply chain from India, but we will not restrict ourselves for raw material only from India. We will develop India also as a full supply chain, right from the ore to magnets. That is the plan.
Okay. Thanks, sir. I have more questions. I come back.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question was, you mentioned CT division contribution is around 5% to sales. So what was the contribution from Hi-Perm and Shunt division for this year as well as last year, roughly?
So Hi-Perm division. That is the same as almost the same as last year. Hi-Perm division is about 40%. Hi-Perm division is about
1 minute. Total sales.
Yeah.
Total sales of around 50% from Hi-Perm division, and rest is from all other divisions.
Hi-Perm is 50 and.
Sorry, I can't hear you properly.
Sorry, you said Hi-Perm is 50% and Shunt division is how much?
Hi-Perm is 50, Shunt is 30.
Okay, sir. And last year the number was similar, 50-30 only? Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Did you say that?
Sorry, I'm not. Can you repeat that?
This year is 50-30. Hi-Perm and Shunt. What was it last year, the contribution?
Similar
last year, yeah. Similar, okay. Sure. And if we divide it in a different way, you have nicely explained that you have five revenue product platforms, magnetic sensing, current sensing, assemblies, alloys, and Zemak tag casting. What is the mix now and versus last year?
We are not dividing the mix in terms of revenue percentages there. We are dividing in terms of the application, which is automotive. So we have, and energy meters mainly. We have not divided.
Mostly goes in current sensing.
Yeah, but current sensing, but the majority sale is in current sensing.
Is it safe to assume 50% plus is current sensing?
More than
of our total sale?
Yeah, more than 50%.
Sure. And sir, this the two new divisions like alloys and Zemak die casting, it's relatively newer division. So how are these going, and where do you see this new divisions as a percentage of our sales in next 3-4 years?
Very, very, I'm quite optimistic about these divisions.
Okay. And the applications that these are going, so which segment do you think will be the main growth driver in these two divisions, alloys and Zemak die casting?
Alloys will be mainly special alloys which require nickel, cobalt, these types of alloys, which are special application for tooling, for aerospace, and these type of applications, where people require really pure alloys.
Sure, sir. And for Zemak?
Zemak has multiple applications, including automotive, also consumer applications. So Zemak die casting, Zemak is an alloy, zinc and aluminum, and it will, it has multiple applications, not restricted to one.
Thank you. We take next question from the line of Manan Palodia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
So, first of all, congratulations on posting a great set of numbers. So, my first question is regarding your components to modules slide. That is, I think, your 20th slide in the investor presentation. I wanted to understand this whole product stage 1, 2, 3, 4 bifurcation that you've given. Could you please put some more color on that and explain where we are currently in that whole product stage cycle?
See, we are moving towards modules. So what is, I did not understand your question exactly. What do you want to understand?
So what I want to understand, sir, is currently are we just supplying the shunt assemblies, or are we at shunts plus wires, or are we at shunt plus wires plus PCB and plus concentrators? Where are we in that stage, and how soon do we get to hope to get to the next stage?
So we are in the mostly in product stage 1 and 2, and we are moving towards 3 and 4, but in different products we are in different stages. Some customers are already talking to us about product stage 3 and 4. So it is not a general one single product.
Okay.
For different products it is different stages.
Understandable, sir. So my second question is on the MOU with Cordant International. About exploring the neodymium magnets may. So is that just going to be catering to automotive, or is that going to be catering to something else as well? Since there is a slide where you have written about white goods and wind turbines and ICV, HEV, I wanted to understand what we are targeting as our consumer applications.
The wind turbine and electronics in the automotive are the biggest three applications worldwide globally. But we are targeting currently automotive and electronics. These two are the main.
Correct. Also, just one last follow-up on that. You've written about the global demand estimate for neodymium magnets by 2030 and 2050, with it being 119,000 tons in 2020. What would the current demand be, as well as what is the current supply, if you are aware? What is the current market size?
Market size, you're talking about neodymium.
Yes, neodymium.
No, that is already I've given that in that slide. I think it is what 100 and sorry, that is about the total size is about 120,000 tons roughly, which is going to increase based on the number of EVs. In China, for example, EV penetration is much more higher, and that is going to replicate in India.
So I meant not the demand, but what is the current supply of neodymium magnets? Is there like a supply-demand mismatch, or is supply equivalent to current demand?
Supply is equivalent to current demand, mostly being catered to by China only.
Right. So most capacities are at full utilization in China, would you say? Or is that not fair to assume?
Again?
So I was asking, sir, are the capacities in China, are the supply that is coming out of China, would you assume that their capacities are at full utilization, or would you assume that they are at partial utilization and they still have space to supply more?
I would assume that they are at full, near to full only utilization. But
right. Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
They set up quickly if they want to set up.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir.
You're going differently now. Pleasure.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. First on our modules progression, because from the exports data, we seem to be selling mostly cores and shields, if I'm right. I mean, so why have we not started selling our IoT or CAN modules yet, although I think we have had the capability since 2019 itself? I mean, can we compete with someone like Melexis and become a tier one supplier by replacing Melexis or even CTS? You mentioned that we sold 2 crores of modules in FY23. Can you mention which OEM was it? And if we want to become a tier one, will it affect our existing relationships with our tier one relationships that we have?
We are moving towards modules. It takes time for the customer to test and to develop and to commercially start buying. Melexis, for example, you said, but Melexis is a complementary product to us. We will not be competing with Melexis. And modules, each customer has a customized module, so they will, once they give us the design, we have to make as per that design. So in future, I expect that we will move towards the modules, and more customers will buy modules. I don't see any competition from tier one. Tier one companies are making bigger assemblies and supplying to main OEMs.
Okay, can you mention that OEM that we did 2 crores?
No, I would not like to name, sir.
Okay. Second question, sir. In FY22 annual report, we have mentioned joining material using ultrasonic welding as part of the R&D carried out. Very good news, because welding was one capability that we didn't have. Does it mean we can make our own shunts, and how is ultrasonic different from the electron beam laser welding that Shivalik uses for its shunts?
So electron beam welding is the process used to join the strip together to make the strip copper, manganese, copper. Ultrasonic welding is a process which is used for forward, for plastics, to weld plastics together. So it's two different technologies, not connected to each other.
But can we do the electron beam ourselves? Can we make the shunts, that is?
No, we are not doing it at the moment. We are buying the strip right now and forward integrating. There's always an option in future to do it, but right now we have not done it.
Okay. And third question. I can also see rotor stator assemblies as a new capability in our website. Does it mean we can make the complete BLDC motors, or is it only subcomponents? Do we have any LOI for these motors or components? Are we close to commercialization?
This is a part of the motor, but the main part of the motor, stator and rotor, it has to go into a housing, then it has to be, a PCB has to be added with software to make it work for the full motor. Right now we are not doing the full motor that our customer is doing. So we are pretty much supplying the main heart of the motor. For this has started recently and we expect it to grow.
Okay, and can you talk about this EV motor scenario? Because I know we are working on BLDC, but someone like Sona is working on SRM or even PMSM. My understanding is BLDC is used only for EV two-wheelers, but companies are focusing on SRM because it doesn't have magnets, the expensive magnets. So any color on the EV motor situation currently?
Using AC motors which do not require magnet at all. And some companies are using, but there are certain advantages to having motors with magnets. They are more, some companies, their designs are more efficient, more cost effective that way. But it really depends on customer to customer. But some companies don't use motors with magnets because they want to move away from magnets.
Thank you. We take a next question from the lineup. Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital, please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question was on, you know, we have been, you know, telling that our product pipeline does have some projects which have an ability to turn to a $5 to $10 million kind of projects. So are we close to commercializing any of these projects in the year or so?
I can't say here, but some of them are pretty at a good stage, but that depends on the start of the project. Initially, when it starts, it will start with low volume and then mature over next 1, 2, 3 years. Then it goes higher with higher volume. So I can't say that whether this year itself we will have one big project.
But there are few projects who can scale up to $5-10 million kind of sales over 2-3 years, which we are currently doing.
There are multiple opportunities like that.
Sure. Sir, my second question was on this, you know, the possibility of a JV with Quadrant International. So you spoke about, you know, mining this rare earth products. Like, what will we do exactly in this JV? And, you know, like, what will be the capital outlay for this project? You know, how big will this be? And related to that, you know, we understand that there is a huge push from U.S. government to move away from China for this particular neodymium magnet and assemblies. So, you know, like a lot of companies, including Quadrant, are exploring opportunities outside of China to reduce their dependence. So any view on that? And, you know, first the question on the CAPEX and what kind of investment will be requiring if we enter into a JV with them?
We are not going to do mining. That's not the plan. We will buy the processed raw material and then start make metal and then all the further processes. That is the final idea once it is done. It has to be done phase wise. We can't do everything in one shot. So that is the broad thinking at the moment.
First we start with assemblies with neodymium magnet, then the
and then go phase-wise. And then the investment capex also depends on the size of the project, on how many tons capacity do we want to set up. We would like to start up with a smaller capacity, see the get the feel of the market, and then go grow bigger from there. So it really depends on the size of the project.
Yeah, as of now, to decide.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Keshav from Raxan Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, you had mentioned in the past that our customers would want to stick to a single supplier like PML because of criticality of the products and strict tolerances, product performance related. So is that only valid for products where we supply magnets or magnet-based assemblies, or does that equally apply to shunt-based current sensing products where we are procuring shunts from outside?
It mostly applies to the soft magnetic materials where it is very sensitive to the readings that they generate from current sensing devices. So this mainly they would not like to shift and change to multiple sources. So mostly related to soft magnetic materials.
Okay, and for the shunt-based current sensing products, we might have secondary tertiary suppliers.
Yeah, that is generally. But in our line of business, we find that as we go along, we generally are okay with one single supplier, even for shunt.
Okay. So secondly, so we are working horizontally with many customers and we keep adding more to improve our odds of success. And say currently, 90 to 95% of the business is non-commercial supplies, say just which is low volume. And we have very high ROCs on the current business. So in another 2 to 3 years, say some percentage of commercial business comes, so this higher volume commercial business will come with better ROCs or at least in the line with the current based business?
Line, so that we can pick and choose products which are of good, where we can have the best possible ROC. So currently, we don't see any change, major change happening in the ROC. We are moving towards keeping it same or maybe improving. That's the idea.
Sure, sir. Thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Ashit Koti from Almonds Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the management on good set of numbers as well as also would want to know, I think this is being our first investor meet. So going forward, we hope that this would continue. And only one question which I have is, while we are exporting to China majorly, 80% of our automotive part goes towards China, if I have understood it rightly, then that dependency can create any issue?
No, 80% is automotive is not going to China. Some of the volume is going to China, but 80% major supplies is to
Europe and
Europe, USA, and the final customers are mostly in Europe and USA. They may ask us to supply to some Chinese integrators. The final customers are in Europe and USA.
Okay.
So there is no threat.
So if we have to divide our export sales region-wise, Europe, US, and China, then how do we?
So region-wise, Americas, we have around 29%. We have around 25%. Asia, including India, have 46%. Out of this 46%, China, we may have around 10% only.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks. Congratulations, Sharadji and Sukmalji, for a wonderful year, a great performance for the year, and look forward to much better times ahead. So I have three questions, sir. Firstly, on the business side in terms of the size, like we have been observing and we have worked very hard for last 10 years and we have got into some very marquee customers on the auto as well as energy side. And typically what we have observed on the auto side is, you know, the customer addition in last few years or last, I would say, 4 years has been pretty good. Newer customers have been added practically every year. So have we reached an inflection point where the scale-up of these customers can be really, you know, some of these customers can really become large customers to the extent of, say, you know, what, $5 million or better? How do we look at it, sir? You have alluded to this fact in our earlier interactions also, and one of the previous participants also you mentioned about it.
There are the customers that we have added, they are mostly very, very big size customers, some of them. So, more than $5 billion, $10 billion companies also. So, scale-up can be quite big depending on what kind of opportunities we get with them. Even if we, let's say, do not add many more new customers, even these customers have the potential to give us large businesses.
So based on your discussion and the scale-up which you have done till now, do you feel if may say koi 2-3 customers can really become 5 to 10 million in say next 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, already we have some very large customers also. It is possible. It is possible.
Sure. And sir, with regards to the module, we have done 2 crores business this year. Commercial supplies have been done, which is commendable. Because we started talking about modules about 2 years back. So from here on, how do we see the scale up? Say next year, say 2 wala 10 ho sakta hai, then 20, something like that. Because that initial legwork and initial time takes a lot of time. But once you are starting supplies, can we expect a, you know, sharp jump in the module revenues?
I am optimistic about that. I can't give you any numbers how much revenue we can generate, but once it starts, it will be a good business.
So I'm not asking ki ye saal hoga ki, I'm just asking ki wo 2 ka 10 aur 10 ka 20 hone ki possibility is there, right? Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you are able to hear me?
Yeah, so I was asking ki, I am not saying the revenue number for this year, but I was just trying to understand ki whether this kind of scale up from 2 to 10 and 20, something of this nature will happen in this kind of business.
Yeah, it is possible to scale up that kind of jumps, because 2 crores is nothing, a very small number.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, given the volume of questions, we will extend the conference by 15 more minutes. Please limit to 2 questions per participant so that everyone gets chance. We take the next question from the line of Weber Bajatia from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
So in terms of number of employees, both permanent and contractual, if you can give me the number for last year, basically close of FY22, close of FY23, and what you're planning to do in FY24.
So in FY22, we have around 120 permanent employees, which increased to around 135 in FY23, and we are expecting to add, depending on the opportunity, maybe around 20-25 permanent employees in current year.
In contractual? I mean, I'm sure most of the shop floor workers would be contractual.
And 350 in FY23, and we may add around 50 more in FY24.
Sorry, FY22, how much you said? I missed the number.
FY22 contractual was around 300.
Okay, got it. And so secondly, this talk about moving from component to modules. So are we, I understand in electric, in meters, in electric meter, we are supplying to the metering company. So I'm sure metering company is not making modules. They're making the whole meter. But in other segments, are we competing in one way with our customers itself, or how it's going to work? Because I'm sure we are eating into somebody else's pie. So I just want to know where the pie is currently.
Generally, when the customers are designing these modules, or they give us a design, we make as per that. So we are not necessarily that we are competing with our customers. These are the final customer gives us the design and we are supposed to supply it to our integrator. Integrator is not really our customer, right? The customer is the final company which gives us the design. We are not competing with them.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Nagaraj Chandrasekhar from Emerge Capital. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman Gupta from S FinTech. Please go ahead. So Raman Gupta, your line is unmuted. Please go and ask your question.
Am I audible?
You are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is on the two sides. One is the risk side. As we are getting the magnets from Shivalik Bimetal, right? So in case now Shivalik Bimetal itself is seeing a big demand, right? So in case they are not able to supply the magnets to us, what will be our scope then? So how would we are placed? And second question is, what is the margin diversification from India as well as from the foreign Europe or US, right? So I have two questions on that part.
Shivalik does not make magnets. They supply us raw material.
The sensor, whatever, the center resistors.
Yeah. They supply us bimetals. So what they do is they join the two metals together. There are other suppliers also for that, so we don't have a risk that if they don't supply, we will not be able to make.
We already have identified suppliers in other countries, so there is no risk.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about the margins from Europe, US and India?
Then in Europe and America, then India.
So what is the margin diversification? How much margins we are taking from the foreign countries and how much we are from the domestic market?
The exact margins, but those are dependent on product to product and complexity. Some products which are more complex have higher margins because difficult to do and difficult to manufacture. And some which are more simpler have a low margin.
But certainly the margins are higher in export and lower in domestic.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, with regards to the gross margins that we had in this year, if you look at over the last 3-4 years, our margins have ranged from, I think, 47%, gross margin I'm talking about, 47% to 55%. If you can just help us understand how is the outlook from here on the gross margins and what is it?
We expect the gross margins to remain the same with this kind of product mix. Now, going forward, suppose we get a very high value, a bigger volume of product which has more raw material content, then those margins can
be less
on that particular product. But generally, we do not expect a major change in the margins.
Okay, so last year you made 50%, so you expect margins to be in that same range.
50% is roughly the raw material cost. There is also manufacturing cost there. So the gross margin is not 50%.
Yeah, actually, I was just looking at sales minus raw material only. So, yeah.
Raw material is roughly 50%, around 50%.
Okay, so you expect it to be in the similar range?
Similar range, maybe 1 or 2% here and there.
Yeah, given our current product mix, if it is a similar product mix, scale similarly, it will be at the same level mostly.
Sure, sir, sure. And last year, I think, not sure if we had, there were 1 or 2 products which were seeing a decline in revenue. They were on a declining trend. So do we still have those products in our portfolio which were in a structural decline? Or they are completely out of the portfolio now?
No, there is still a little bit of sales going on for those products. But each product, that is our nature of business, each product will have an end of life because these are all customized products. So in the coming year also, we will have some products which will go out of business and some products, new products will come in. That is the nature of this business.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Vikram from Nivesh I. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please go ahead, sir.
So, sir, my question is, I wanted to know the opportunity per smart meter, like what revenue we can earn per smart meter.
Smart meter is growing well, and the customers are giving us opportunities there with the new components or the products that they are developing. But it really depends on the on how fast they implement, how quickly the chip shortage situation is solved, and it depends on that. But overall, the outlook is good.
And so what is value per smart meter? Like any value you can give? Like 300, 400?
No, we are selling components in for the smart meter. Smart meter companies, smart meter manufacturers are our customers.
Yeah. So and how is the domestic demand, like in AGM we were guiding domestic demand is sluggish?
Domestic demand currently is good, sir.
And what is total opportunity size in smart meter? Like Indian government is targeting 25 crore smart meters. So any broad number on total opportunity size?
No, we do not have any particular number. That is all published numbers of the government. Government is targeting to quickly install the smart meter, but there are challenges in terms of speed of installation and the utilities, how fast they can order, and then our customers, how fast they can supply. But government is pushing that. That is all.
Thank you. We take next question from the line of Vinay Bagri from GD Bagri Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sharad. Good afternoon. You know, thank you, to Permanent Magnet, to create so much money, for its shareholders. I had a question in connection, with your quadrant tie-up. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Yeah. So regarding your quadrant tie-up, while I know it's only an MOU, just wanted to understand, what the structure will be, that Permanent will be the holding company and, we guys will be majority partners, or, will Quadrant be a majority partner? Has there been any discussion on that?
Right now, we are still under discussion. We have not decided on anything, so I can't comment anything on that. We are just evaluating the feasibility of setting up the JV. That's okay. The plan.
Okay. But the JV, will it be at a promoter level or will it be at a company level or will it be a combination?
We are talking only about company level.
Okay, great. Also wanted to understand, whether Quadrant, currently, continues as a client of the company, and in case there is a JV, will that business move out of PML, to the subsidiary or, the JV company in a sense?
Right now, they are not our customers. We have just been talking to them about this JV setup. We will set up a subsidiary company for this purpose, and then talk about converting it to JV if needed.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Bhaskar from Univesto Capital. We lost the line for Mr. Bhaskar. We take a next question from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
You are, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have recently started tracking the company. This is online question. Basically, this company used to be once owned by our ex-Prime Minister Morarji Desai and his son Kanti Desai, if I remember correctly. So that means a very old company, listed company, and what have been the reasons since market cap didn't move since then for such an old company? So what have been the recent triggers behind the improvement of the company performance and the sustainability of the same? And so what's our USP and moat? And the second question is about the opportunity size and the CAGR we expect. Thank you.
You are correct. Company is basically formed by Kantilal Morarji Desai in 1960. And then Thapariya family took over from them in 1965. And
the main change has been that earlier the company was focused on the product, and now we are focused on the capability related to that product. So with that capability focus, company can do many, many more products, many different areas, many different product lines. That has been the main change, and that is why you are seeing a good growth. And that is our plan to continue to increase our capability. CAGR, I think I have answered earlier.
Opportunity size, if you can some highlight on the competition part also, sir.
Opportunities, so once we are increasing the capability, the opportunity, I mean, the market size, we are targeting a much, much larger market, which we cannot even estimate the size. We are a very small portion out of that. It's a worldwide market. So, I can't give a number to the market size because we are not in a single product. We are having multiple product portfolios, all related to capabilities.
Yeah, this con call was really good, sir. Please keep it on a regular basis, sir. Lot of interest is happening, sir.
Yes, surely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take a next question from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible, sir?
You are. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Sir, most of the questions have been answered. Just a couple of questions. So, sir, you talked about, I mean, a lot of things going for us. So what are the key risks that you see from here on? I mean, what are the things that can derail or the things that are really going on for us? If you can just maybe highlight that. And my second question is, you highlighted that you expect 20-25% growth even for this year. So as we scale with that kind of growth, do you see possibility of margins going up from the current levels due to operating leverage?
The first question, the risk is mostly the global situation and global recessionary trends. If that happens, that is the risk that we perceive. Other than that, regular risk like Forex movements, these are the other issues. But generally,
we are naturally, fortunately, we have import as well as export.
And so on the so naturally hedged position we have. Other than that, we don't see any other risks.
So even in that, just to sort of follow up on that part. So I mean, we are in areas which are growing overall in terms of, like, for example, EVs, or even other segments. Like even the segments that you're growing, you're gaining wallet share. So, I mean, even if a recession comes, do you think that will have a big impact on us? I'm sure it will have an impact, but in terms of structurally, these things are very long-term trends for our company. So, just wanted to get a view from you.
We do not expect any recession in the EV segment. If at all it happens, it may happen overall. But earlier recession, we had experienced that customers delay their purchases. So they hold on. And that is what impacts the company at that time. So that risk is always there.
Sure. And the second question on operating leverage, is there an answer?
The margins we are expecting to remain the same with this kind of product mix. The whole idea of building the pipeline is to pick and choose projects which are having a reasonably good margin. I don't expect that it is going to increase or decrease very sharply. Mostly my expectation is to remain at similar levels.
Sure. Thank you very much and all the very best and congrats on the great numbers. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference back over to Mr. Sharad Taparia for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all, everyone, for participating in the call and for your good wishes to the company. Your questions are very important to us and we strive to be as transparent as possible for our investors and we try to do our best for investor communications. If there are any unanswered questions, please do get in touch with our investor relations team and they can take it forward. We hope to continue these calls every quarter or every half year depending on time frame. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Permanent Magnets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.